Yes, because he lives. This child can face uncertainty, and all our children can face uncertainty because he lives. Can we hear a loud amen to that? We believe that our children can face uncertainty and whatever is there tomorrow because he lives, Jesus lives. And he's coming again soon, very soon. And I hope we're looking forward to that day when we're going to see him face to face and when we are going to be changed. And it's not going to happen automatically. It all depends on how we live our days on earth. And we don't live in our own strength. We live in the power of the Holy Spirit, who changes us day by day. So we have that confidence. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And what is on my heart this morning for us as a church is what I feel is a neglected truth about the resurrection of Jesus. Most Christians of the whole Christian world celebrate what they call Easter, but it's all like Christmas, which is wrapped up in Christmas trees and Santa Clauses. Easter is wrapped up in Easter bunnies and Easter eggs, and the whole truth and reality is lost in all the festivity. And sadly, many believers are drawn into that. So I want to share with you what our responsibility is as a church and what our responsibility is as parents. If you've been coming to this church, you would have heard so much about Jesus and his resurrection from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead. It was impossible for death to hold him. The ruler of the world had come just a couple of days before, and he found nothing in him. Nothing in him. Nothing in of his nature in him. So Jesus offered himself up on that cross for you and me. He paid the price. And the blood that he shed is the blood that cleanses us from sin. The life that he lived is the life that glorified God. And he gave that life up on the cross. And in doing so, he overcame sin. He overcame the world. He overcame death. Most of all, he overcame the devil. He marched the devil and all his angels and demons and spirits naked through the heavens. You read that in Colossians 2. That's a word that I keep reminding the devil of constantly. He has no power over us. If we've been washed and cleansed in the blood, if we have repented of our sins and put things right with God and with each other, he has no power over our homes and our families, over our children, because Jesus defeated him on the cross of Calvary. And we are told in Revelation 12 that we overcome him. We overcome him by the blood, by the word of our testimony. What testimony? The testimony that Jesus made before Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. We will not fight with flesh and blood. And that is the testimony that we are to have all through our life till our last breath. I will not fight with flesh and blood. Our battle is against the devil and all his hosts, the ruler of the darkness of this world, but Jesus has overcome him. And we overcome him by the blood, by the word of our testimony, and we will not love our life unto death. But it doesn't end there. Like sadly, I mean, a whole multitude of so-called Christians. I was watching something, and you know, this song that we will sing later, such beautiful resurrection songs. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. That's a favorite hymn of mine. But sadly, right in the back was a cross with someone hanging on it. And I was reading something the other day that when we see our Roman Catholic friends with a cross and somebody hanging on it, it is not Jesus. And this man of God said, it's a good opportunity to give the gospel and ask your friend, you know, who is that hanging on the cross? And if they reply, that's Jesus. No, it's not Jesus. Jesus is not there. Jesus is not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He's risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope you don't say just amen, but you believe in your heart that he's risen from the dead. He's alive, like we say. Otherwise, it makes no sense to say that we are following Jesus. This truth and fact about Jesus' resurrection has been refuted and opposed and disputed right from the very first resurrection morning. Do you know that? Right from the very first resurrection morning and down through the centuries, religious people on that resurrection morning, if you want to look at it, it's then Matthew 28. So it's begun long back. To the devil has done everything and he's not given up and he's working even now overtime. It says, you know, in verse 11, on that resurrection morning, it says, when the guards went on their way, some of the guard came into the city, verse 11, Matthew 28, 11, reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. There it is, the corruption that started right on the first resurrection morning. They bribed the soldiers and said, you are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, don't worry, we'll win him over also and keep you out of trouble. We'll also give him a sum of money. And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. And all kinds of theories and all kinds of fallacies have been promoted and put into the Christian world that Jesus didn't die, he slept. Disciples came and stole his body. So the church is a guardian of this truth. And I'm sorry to say, my Roman Catholic friends, you cannot guard this truth with a helpless, weak, crucified Jesus depicted on the cross, no matter what you may believe. I hope you will see that. And those of you who have come out of Roman Catholicism, that you will denounce that. That is not the Jesus of the Bible. That is not Christianity. And we pray to God, and many from our Roman Catholic friends would turn to the living Christ and repent and be born again. not have to be going and confessing their sins to the priest. And if you have come out of that, and if there are some sitting here, I want to say to you in love, my dear friend, turn to the living Jesus. Turn to the living Christ. He alone can save you. In wearing that crucifix around your neck and or keeping it in your home is not going to save you. I can speak because I came out of that background. I can speak this way because I want to tell you that I was so sincere and so religious that I, at the end of it, I was so disillusioned and nearly took my life and tried to commit suicide. That's what religion did to me. So whether it's Roman Catholic or Protestant, or whatever it is, if it is a religion, it'll kill you. It'll take you to hell. God has not given us a religion, whether it's Roman Catholic, Protestant, and call it whatever you want, whatever label. We are to be followers of Christ. We are to be witnesses of His resurrection. That is our calling, my brothers and sisters. So we have to renounce, like it says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. We renounce the things that are hidden. Renounce, and which I did. I renounced because I lost my life. Then the doctor whose first face I saw that night said, Ian, God has given you a second life. Don't be a fool. It's a long, long story. I'm not going there. I'm going to speak to you about Jesus and knowing Him and the power of His resurrection. Knowing Him, not just knowing Him, but knowing Him and the power of His resurrection. Paul was so gripped with this reality that the Holy Spirit inspired him to write extensively about the reality of this truth, about the reality of the resurrection, and also all the other apostles too. The New Testament is full of it. I hope as you read your Bible, as you read the New Testament, you don't miss that. Because this is the crux, this is the center of the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is good news. And it is no good news if Christ was not raised. Whatever you may say, and I don't know what gospel you preach to others, but if you do not believe, not just in your head, but in your heart, that Christ was raised from the dead, God raised Him from the dead. It was impossible for death to hold Him. His body could not see decay because He lived a perfect life and He pleased God. God was able to bear testimony to Him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And I covet that. I pray, I said, Father, I want you to be able to say that of me. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And I want to be a witness for Jesus and His resurrection. And Paul says, you know, in 1 Corinthians 15, this little verse there, you know, if Christ was not raised, we are of all men most to be pitied. In the Message Bible it says, if all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we are a pretty sorry lot. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration to admire Him, the life that He lived, and He lived a perfect life, and He never sinned, all that we read, the glory of His life, but if we have not been gripped like Paul was, that he was raised from the dead, he says, we are a pretty sorry lot. We are of all men most to be pitied if Christ has not been raised. It must not be a truth, like I said, up in our heads. We must believe it in our hearts. We must be so gripped to it. It's a life-changing truth. And I can testify to that. And I thank God for opening my eyes to that 55 years ago. When I rejected religion, lock, stock and barrel. I had nothing to do with religion. And I have nothing to do with religion. Even if CFC became a religion. I believe in the living Christ. We are to press on in this way. And this is what he was gripped with, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. And we must not fail to teach our children, parents, through illustrations and creation itself. We must not fail to teach our children that Jesus was raised from the dead. You can show them, take them into the garden. If you don't have a garden, you can show them on the internet. You can show them a chrysalis before it becomes a butterfly. And say, that is a picture of Jesus when he died and when he rose again. And somebody said that when God raised him, he came out of the grave clothes. Now whether he folded his grave clothes or came out of it, I don't know. But one thing I know, that he was raised from the dead. Somebody said that the napkin folded up by itself was just like that little chrysalis. You know, when the butterfly comes out, it struggles to come out, but it breaks free and it comes out. And then it's a beautiful butterfly that flies in the sunshine. I've never forgotten that. I was taught that in school. I'm sorry to say that I was not gripped with the reality of it. But that's something you can teach your children. And Jesus just came out of those grave clothes and came out with a glorified body. And many saw him. We read so much of that in the Gospels. A grain of rice, a wheat, like it says in 1 Corinthians 15, you put it into the ground, it doesn't remain that same grain of wheat or rice. Now, this is something you can teach your children, Sunday school teachers, to prove to them, to help them to understand the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That this is what happened to Jesus. That wheat, grain of wheat, that little grain of rice, it doesn't remain a grain of wheat. It doesn't remain a grain of rice. It comes out with a different body. And that is what happened to Jesus. And that's why Paul says, you know, in 1 Corinthians 15, I delivered to you, you can look at it, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. He said, I delivered to you of first importance that Christ died for you, for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. This is what we should teach our children. The reality of the resurrection. That you can say, my child, we believe in a living Jesus. Not a Jesus that's hanging on the cross like many of our Roman Catholic friends have. And probably you see in some Protestant churches also. Or high Anglican or whatever it is, high or low church. And they have this helpless, poor Jesus hanging on a cross. He's not hanging on a cross anymore. And when they celebrate Good Friday, and they go through all the stations of the cross, it's meaningless. It's good to remember. It's good to go to the cross, and I've done that many times. But I know that he's not there. He's not on the cross. He's paid the price. And I can only see what he did for me. And Paul says, he had to say that to the Galatians, I don't want to know anything from among you except Christ crucified. Yeah, but that is a once and for all thing for us. In God's eyes, it's still happening. But He's no more there on the cross. He lives. And we are to be witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. This is the crux, my brothers and sisters, or the central truth of the gospel, which the devil tries to eliminate, destroy, and pervert with all kinds of theories. And he's going to do more so. If he can eliminate that from Christianity and you fall for that, you're of all men most to be pitied, like the scripture says. I want to read Philippians 3, 7 to 21. And I've asked our dear friends and dear sisters to put it up on the screen from the Message Bible. But before that, Philippians 3, verse 10 and 11. Look there first. I want to read it in the version that we all have, so that we know what we are talking about, and then we read the message, which is so powerful. You know, Paul says in Philippians 3, 10 and 11, he says, maybe go a little before that, verse 7. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. But I want to go to verse 10 first, because this is what I want us to focus on before we keep that there. And Paul says here, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That is what Paul was gripped with, that I may know Him. And that is on my heart for you and me, my brothers and sisters. If you make that your goal, to know Him, not just know about Him, to know Him and not just know Him, but know Him in the power of His resurrection, it will change your life. It will change your perspective of life. And you will begin to see things with resurrected eyes. With resurrected eyes. I say that because that is what happened to me. And whatever struggles and problems and difficulties you go through, and the devil tries to blind us to be wrapped up with the things of earth. You know, in 2 Corinthians and chapter 3, which I've often referred to, the veil is taken away from our eyes, and that veil is removed in Christ. And when I turn to the Holy Spirit, it says the veil is taken away. And the Lord is the Holy Spirit, and that is what He has to often do whenever we turn to Him. He is all the time trying to get us occupied with things of earth. He's all the time trying to get us to get occupied with fighting flesh and blood. Sometimes He succeeds, but He wants to remove that veil. So He gives us resurrected eyes. We see things clearly. There are some of us here who need that second touch. The man that Jesus touched, and Jesus said, "Do you see anything?" He says, "I see men as trees walking." I'm afraid many believers, many of you, many sitting here, have received a touch from the Lord, but they see men as trees walking. Chop them down. If they don't go my way, chop them down. You need a second touch, my dear brother and sister, in the way we handle our children, in the way we respond and react to our spouses, in the way we deal with people. You see men as trees. Chop it down. Like, you know, the gardener, like the master of that garden said, chop it down if it's not bringing for fruit. But he had some compassion. He says, "No, just give it one more year, and I'll put manure and fertilizer and water it. And if it doesn't bear fruit, then chop it down." But you and I need that second touch Not just once. You need that second touch where you see men as men, you see people as people and have compassion on them. And I believe many of you sitting here need that second touch. You need to have resurrection eyes. So going back to Philippians 3, Paul said, this is the Jesus I want to know. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. So now looking at Philippians chapter 3, follow it in your Bible and read. The message paraphrases on the screen, and it's really powerful. Listen to it and take to heart some of the things that Paul says here by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says the very credentials, you know, verse 7 in your Bible, whatever things were gained to me, these things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Now the message says the very credentials these people are waving around is something special. I am tearing out and throwing it out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Throwing it out, those things which were gained to me. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Is that true, my brothers and sisters, of you and me? All the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my Master firsthand. Everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant dog dung. What a wonderful paraphrase that is. Not just garbage, not just rubbish, dog dung. You ever stepped into dog dung and got into your car or got into your home? Oh, what a smell, isn't it? And it takes a long time to get rid of it. But that's how Paul regarded everything. He says, I've dumped everything. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I can embrace Christ and be embraced by Him. That's what the Lord does. When we look at everything, whatever it is, you got a promotion, you got a good job that pays you double the salary, you got a good house, you got property once, you never had property, you were in debt once, now you're out of debt. All these things. Thank God for that you don't have debt. All these things, he says, everything, your education, your intelligence, everything, whatever it is, I dumped it in the trash. I considered it as dog dung. And I want to say, I thank God for helping me to see that. And I want to say that I am on that way. I consider everything as dog dung. The house you live in, the property you buy, the education you got, the education you can give your children, the partners you find for your children. Praise God for that. But don't value it. Don't bank everything on that. You're going to be disillusioned. You're going to be disappointed. Dump it, my dear brothers and sisters. Dump it and consider it as dog dung. And he goes on to say, I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. Paul feared in ending up with the righteousness which was not of God, which was of his own making. Just check up, my brothers and sisters. I had told a brother some years ago who had such a zeal for God. I said, as I said, when you see people, you don't see them as men and you don't see them as brothers and sisters, but you see them as something to be axed, whatever it is, axed from their position or whatever it is. You have a zeal for God, Romans 10:4, a word that you can always go back to. A zeal for God which is not according to wisdom, not according to knowledge. Paul had that zeal and he wanted to wipe out the Christian church, the followers of Jesus at that time. Not what you see today. So, we have a zeal that is according to wisdom, and when we follow Jesus, the living Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, we will have a righteousness that is of God. God's righteousness. He says there, I gave up all that inferior stuff so that I can know Christ personally, experience His resurrection power, be a partner in His suffering, and go all the way with Him to death itself. That's what that word is, what I read earlier, Philippians 3:10 and 11. I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection to the dead. I gave up all that inferior stuff so that I can know Christ personally, experience His resurrection power. My brother, my sister, strive for that. Seek for that. Don't go for something inferior. Even keeping CFC rules and fitting into CFC conduct and speaking the language that you can learn very quickly now in CFC language. Inferior stuff. Dump it. Dump it in the trash. There's a trash can outside. It's dog dung. If you have adopted CFC culture and you have not come to grips with the resurrection life of Jesus that is changing you, that you have transparent, that you can have a clear conscience, we will look at that in a little while. And that you can see things with resurrection eyes. I want to tell you, you're wasting your time coming here. You might as well be sitting somewhere else. I gave it up, my brother, sister. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. And He says, if there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. I'm not saying I've had this all together, that I have it made, but I'm well on my way. And I can say that. I'm not saying that I have it all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, and I can say that before God. I am on that way. In knowing Jesus and the power of His resurrection, reaching out for Christ. Reaching out for Christ. You see it there on the screen. As He has wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. And I can say that. I'm no expert in what I'm saying this morning. But I've got my eye on the goal. I've seen the goal. That this is the life that God has called me to, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. That God is calling us, you and me, to Jesus. I'm off and running and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You will see it yet. Now that we are on the right track, let's stay on it. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running the same course, headed for the same goal. Keep track of those you see running the same course and headed for the same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is easy street. They hate Christ's cross. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. But easy street is dead end street. Remember that. If you avoid the cross, choose the easy street, it's dead end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. Belches or burps are their praise. Their belly is their god. And belches. I don't have to describe that to you. In our culture, you know how it sounds. Isn't it? Belches, burps are their praise. Ha! They had a good meal. I'm not saying that we don't enjoy good food. But enjoying good food, enjoying the good things that God has given us richly to enjoy, we don't become an enemy of the cross of Christ. But there's far more to life for us. We are citizens of high heaven. We are awaiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like His own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which He is putting everything as it should be under and around Him. We'll have bodies like Him, bodies that came out of those grave clothes, bodies that came out of that tomb. We'll have glorified bodies, and very soon that day is appearing. Therefore, in Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, therefore, what is God calling us to? We are called to be witnesses of His resurrection. You know, when they gather there in the upper room, I don't have time to, I just want you to look at what happened there when they decided. Acts chapter 1. You know, Peter stood up, verse 15, in the midst of the gathering of about 120 persons. This is the first church. Gathering of 120 persons. I don't know how many stayed together and how many left. Only God knows. And then he spoke about the scripture that foretold that somebody had to fill Judas's place and all that Judas did. And the scripture he quoted in verse 20. Therefore, verse 21, therefore it is necessary that of the men who accompanied us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John, until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection, not of his death. One of us must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they put forth two men. You know the story. And lots were taken, as was the custom. And the lot fell for Matthias. But Jesus had already chosen somebody else. And you know who that is, who was to fill Judas's place, the place that Judas lost. Paul spoke as one born out of time. That was Jesus' choice to make up the 12. Not Matthias. Matthias, he was also chosen there. But Paul was God's chosen. And he says, the apostle says, it's necessary that the men who accompanied us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John, until the day he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And that includes you and me, my brothers and sisters. Even if they had witnessed Jesus' death on the cross, and his burial, seeing him buried, they could not be one of the 12. They could not be one who had seen Jesus rise from the dead, who had seen the risen Christ. Mary came when she saw him and she was so excited, and she fell at his feet and was clinging to him and so overjoyed, and ran and said, "I've seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord." And I want to say to you, have you seen the Lord? Have you seen him in your spirit, the risen Jesus? I thank the Lord. I've seen him. And I can run and tell everybody, and I've been doing that. I have seen the Lord. I've seen him. And I want to ask you, my dear brother, sister, have you seen him? The risen Jesus. Oh, Jesus, that you constantly go to get washed up, cleaned up, whenever you fall and fail. That's fine. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But is that all? Have you seen the risen Jesus? The Jesus who wants to give you this resurrection life. The Jesus who wants to put you on your feet every time you fall, and that you don't lie there. You don't get into depression. That he can lift you up. Be like Mary and find the real Jesus. If you've never found him till now, even if you've been coming to CFC, then you can become a witness of Jesus' resurrection. And you can tell others, you have something to tell others, that even though you fall and fail, there's somebody who can put you on your feet again. He's not hanging helplessly on the cross. He's risen from the dead. He'll come to you and put you on your feet again. Not just clean you up, wash you up, and then again you go back and fall and fail, and then again you go back, fall and fail. It may happen a few times, but every time he'll put you on your feet till one day you can stand strong, because he lives. Because he lives. You know, this truth, religious and intelligent people are greatly disturbed, and they will persecute us. You'll get persecuted in the last days when we stand for this truth, not for converting people. We don't convert people. But the church will suffer persecution for standing for this truth, that we have a Jesus whom God raised from the dead. You see that there in Acts chapter 4. When you have time, read it. The whole chapter of Acts chapter 4. After that man was healed. Acts 4, you know, in verses 2 and 4. It says there, the Sadducees were greatly disturbed. Not just a little bit disturbed. They were greatly disturbed. Why? Why? Because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus not the death of Jesus, but the resurrection from the dead. The Sadducees and all intelligence, no sin to be intelligent. God gives intelligence. But when you want to understand God and his ways with using your mind and your intelligence, then you're a stumbling block. You're a stumbling block in the church. And the Sadducees, and there are many Sadducees today, you know, they have multiplied through the centuries. And sadly, some of them can creep into CFC churches also and say all kinds of things. Like it says, we heard a few weeks ago of some who have crept into the church because they're teaching and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And what do? They laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. We must be willing, therefore, as I was saying, to suffer, to be persecuted for preaching Jesus and his resurrection. But this did not stop them. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 8 of that chapter, And we don't have time to read it, but take time. I encourage you to read all the passages that speak about Jesus and His resurrection. In verse, it says there, verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Acts 4:8, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. And I want to say, the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, there is power in His name. The devil flees at the mention of His name, and he flees at the sound of lightning. Brother Zach, one of the messages recently was reminding, 300,000 miles per second, the speed of lightning. He flees at the mention of the name of Jesus. But be sure you're not like those people who try to cast out a demon, and the demon said, you know, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? Be sure that we live a life, a resurrected life, so that we have the power, and when we use the name of Jesus, there's power in it. So Peter said, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. And he goes on, he is the stone which was rejected by you builders, and which became the chief cornerstone, verse 11. And there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven. And I want to say to anyone sitting here, there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which you can be saved. No other name. And this is what this church has preached. We will be persecuted. We'll be hated by all men, because we stand for the full gospel, the full truth. And this is the verse I want you to look at. Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. They were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. I want to say, my dear brothers and sisters, do your colleagues in the office, your neighbors, see you and me as one who has been with Jesus, not been in CFC. That's another thing. As one who has been with Jesus, you can be in CFC and not be with Jesus. And perhaps there are some like that there. You come to all the meetings. I don't say this to condemn anyone, but I want to challenge you. Seek to be with Jesus. Let be recognized for not being part of CFC. Be recognized for being with Jesus. Let others in CFC see you as one who is walking with Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. Not as one who is faithfully serving in CFC and doing this and doing that. Means nothing. And if you glory in the fact that you somehow find your name on some list here, you're of all men, I want to say, most to be pitied, my brothers and sisters. Seek to be one who walks with Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, that people will recognize. And so we don't have time to read the, you can read it there, the rest of chapter 4. And where it says there, in verse, so when they threatened them further, verse 20, let them go, finding no basis on which to punish them. And I want you to see a verse there further down. And they prayed, they went and told, gathered together with the others who were praying for them. And they praised God there. And verse 29, he says, now Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bond servants may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of Jesus, name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and further down there, you know, everything, they were one heart and mind. You see what the resurrection power of Jesus does. They were one heart and mind. Not one of them claimed that anything belonged to them. Verse 32. And this is the word I want you to see. Verse 33. In great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And abundant grace was upon them all. Abundant grace was upon them all. I have more on my heart, but I will share it another time. We are called to be witnesses of Jesus and His resurrection. And with great power we are to give testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And like I said, two things result from that. The result of knowing Jesus and the power of His resurrection, two things. Others will recognize us as having been with Jesus. And the second thing is that we will always keep a good conscience. I want you to see this word quickly in closing. It says, when Paul was in Rome, Acts chapter 24, verses 14, 15 and 16, and before the governor Felix, and Paul said there, he stood, but this I admit to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law that is written in the prophets. In view of this, I also do my best to maintain always a blameless conscience before God and before men. Having a hope in God which these men cherish, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. Verse 21. And other than for this statement which I shouted out while standing among them, for the resurrection of the dead, I am on trial before you today. That's what Paul stood for, and he suffered for it. For the resurrection of the dead, I am on trial for you today. And it's not just preaching it, my brothers and sisters, it's not just telling others. But in view of this, that there's going to be a resurrection of the righteous and the wicked, in view of this, I do my best to keep a good conscience. That is the result of knowing Him and His resurrection power. That should be the result. That I can be recognized as one, not who belongs to CFC, as one who has been with Jesus. I can be recognized as one who knows Jesus and the power of His resurrection. And in view of that, that there's going to be a resurrection of the righteous and the wicked, I keep a good conscience. And I believe that if we do that, as it says, there will be a redemption. Our bodies will also be redeemed. In Romans chapter 8, when you have time, read it. Romans 8, 18 to 25, something you can read to your children, because there it speaks about creation and the resurrection. And since we have baptism, so I want to stop with that, with this one last word. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I want to read that to you from the Living Bible. And so, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy. I'm reading from the Living Bible. The kind He can accept. When you think of what He has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how His ways will really satisfy you. I plead with you, let's give our bodies to God. These bodies that one day are going to be redeemed, and we'll have a glorious body. That is the result of knowing Jesus and the power of His resurrection power. We will have glorified bodies one day. But in the time that we have this physical body, let's offer them to God as a living, holy sacrifice. That is worship. That is true worship, like it says in one translation. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? I want you to think of what we have heard. Have you seen Jesus? Can you say this morning that you know Him in the power of His resurrection? If not, I want to say to you in all love, my dear brother, sister, my dear friend, you are of all men most to be pitied. You are a sorry lot, because Jesus is returning soon. And whatever you may believe and whatever you may assume, you will be left behind. You'll wake up with a shock in eternity if God were to call you. But will you decide this morning what you've heard? Lord, I've been deceived. I followed a Jesus of my own imagination. I've been deceived, Lord. Take the scales away from my eyes this morning. Blessed Holy Spirit, I turn to you. You promised that whenever a man or woman turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. I turn to you. Take the veil away, that I may see the glory of Jesus, this risen Jesus, and experience His power, His resurrection power, and live the rest of my life to bless others and to be a blessing. In your name I ask. Amen.